For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
So on social media today, they were teasing that there was going to be a surprise return during NXT. But he's not the 10 guy. He's the freaking chairman instead. And I'm kind of sad. They're going to chant 10 at him no matter what he does. Like, that's just what they're going to do. But good on him. I figured he would go there. He lives in Orlando and runs a wrestling school and he's like 40. Like, he's probably going to work there as a trainer too. Like, that just... We're talking about Sean Spears / Ty Dillinger, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, maybe drop the name, dude.
Right. I said the 10 guy. If you're listening to a podcast on the internet, you should know who the 10 guy is at this point. But or you can Google it. Sorry. You know that bullshit that everybody's fighting over? Having to Google wrestling.
What are we fighting over?
You know, everybody got mad because Ice Cube's son criticized AEW fans for saying that you should just Google a wrestler if you don't know who they are, instead of expecting AEW to tell you who they are. But anyway... So it was teased that there was going to be a surprise return during NXT, and someone replied with the gif of Adam Cole doing the Adam Cole baby, and I cried on the inside because even if he did randomly show up, it's not the same guy, so it just wouldn't be
right. Right, your heartbreak.
I'm clinging to the past.
Yeah, you just keep hoping for what was, and he's not the guy, brother.
And he's happy. His career peaked at being NXT champion, the longest running NXT champion of all time. That's why we have Peacock.
Got a hot tennis for a wife. Like, I mean,
yeah, that's why we have Peacock. Like, we can watch it whenever we want to. Like, it's all good. I told a non wrestling fan sent me the funny picture that everyone has seen, where it's like HBO Max has changed his name to Max. You know, it's your move, Peacock.
Right.
And so I explained to this person that everyone in the wrestling area likes to refer to Peacock as the cock. And
well, that's a wrestling thing in general, though. The cock, the E, you know, like if they can do whatever, they're going
to
do it.
I refer to it as Peacock just to be different. Well, Pat McAfee once said on the cock on SmackDown, so on accident. But they replied with, that sounds like something you said. And I'm like, I don't even say that. But okay, now I have. So I
you have a rep, man. You have a reputation.
I guess so. And then I suggested they merge to form Maxcock, but and that
yeah. So
that's a good suggestion.
See, this is the sort of thing I worry about, like when I record Bandwagon Nerds and we talk about these things.
But here we are on the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
And you're doing what I fear on other shows. Now that I'm on like a million shows on your network, dude.
Acknowledge me.
So anyway, it was sad. Sad to think about the memories of Adam Cole, but we'll always have him on Peacock or whatever incarnation of probably Netflix someday.
How will you handle it when he inevitably returns to NXT?
I'll mark out like a little bitch.
Of course you will. He'll be in shape again too.
Just like I told you I did on over the weekend, and I'm not going to say why, but
yeah, I know what you did.
Lots of reasons. I know you know why. But that's one of those.
But I like to let them know that I know that they don't know what I know that you just told me that I now know. That you know.
Well done. That was you kept it on track perfectly. That was good. See, I'm not being a dick. Like that's really good.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Patrick O'Dowd deserves his flowers. Everyone, give the man his flowers, whether it's in the form of real flowers, fake followers at Wrestling Realist. WrestlingRealist, or otherwise. So to follow up on a question that Patrick O'Dowd asked last week about with Miranda Morales still being in the show open and if she would return to the show, and I said it was probably a better chance that she would be on this show in the future than her own show, she agreed with me. So stopped by for a visit at the IZW.
That's nice. Did she bring the tyke?
No. It's not even a month old.
That's
old.
Fine. It's a stop. Stop visiting you. Leave. It's fine.
You might remember
she saved
that.
The whole show?
No. She she had like one or two feeding times covered, but then had to be back. So,
right. Yeah.
Is what it is. You might remember when my son was born, day three, we were at a Greek restaurant, like in Connecticut. I hope that Greek. I hope Apollo is still there. That Greek restaurant, because that place was amazing.
I don't even know. I don't go to Connecticut anymore. So.
Damn it, get in your car.
I do know, dude. I do know that so many of the places that we did, whether it was go out to dinner, like as families and friends, like so much of that shit is gone.
I'm sure it is. I mean, think about how many years.
Because that's just the way the world works.
And this COVID thing happened too, which accelerated other things closing. So.
Yeah. But hell, I was just talking the other day to somebody about the joys of Manchester, Connecticut, and that was the shopping mall that you had.
Oh my god!
Because there was nothing.
The theater with the seats that were way too close together. Yeah.
No. You're thinking of the dirt mall. So there was the dirt mall, but then there was the Manchester mall, which was the bigger mall. That was the real mall that had the Buckland Hills Theater. And that theater's still there. But then the dirt mall, which was technically in, God, I can't remember where it was now that you mention it. But that was like a strip, like the mall was like one level, one hallway with a converted movie theater where they literally took whatever space they could.
I can actually envision this mall that you're talking about.
And made the movie theaters in whatever size rooms they could. There was one movie theater, I remember I don't know if you were with me when I went to see this, but I think our old friend Jerry definitely was. The movie theater had, I think the rows were six total seats.
Yeah, there were. I remember.
But it was like, and it was like four seats on one side, aisle, two seats on the other. Like it was literally, it wasn't that small, but it was literally like
it was
like
small,
the width of a movie screen, and that was.
And
there
was only like four rows of seats. Like it was just
right. It was bad. Weird. It was bad. Those were the days. Very weird.
They were, and we'll always have those memories. We will always have those memories.
Now we have these memories.
We do. We do have these memories. Where I was going with that, I don't even remember.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean
it's okay.
We were talking about Miranda.
She will be likely back. So.
Oh, that's exciting.
Let me hang on. I gotta reply to a text from my wife. So we'll just do it all on air. Who cares, right? We're just doing it all on air. So
air all that laundry.
Yeah, so let's talk about some wrestling. You know what? I'm at GregDemarco44. Already gave you Patrick O'Downs at Chairshot Media for thechairshot.com. Go read, listen, be a part, all of it.
Thechairshot.com.
So Patrick O'Dowd hit me up this week with an idea, or as Bruce Pritchard would say when he makes fun of Michael Hayes, an ideal for what he wanted to do today. So Patrick O'Dowd, what was your big idea?
You just made the list.
I wasn't exactly certain you were going to turn it into a list until you declared that you were going to turn it into a list.
It just makes sense.
I guess so.
No, you don't guess so. It does. It does make sense. There's no I guess so.
I mean, it's your show, so you get to say that it does. I mean, it's your call.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay. Anyway.
I'm having too much fun. I'm not going to lie.
I know you're having fun. I'm having a good time. I always have a good time on the show. It's a great show. But I simply texted you this idea of discussing like narratives that need to stop in pro wrestling, and that was kind of the MO. Just like these things that people say, and this all stemmed from X Twitter and being on X Twitter during Elimination Chamber, and I saw something that it just really irritated me, because it's kind of like old takes exposed, but they're like these undying narratives that won't go away. And there's still some, and Greg, you know, mentioned this is going to be a list. Like, as I was working on my list, some of these narratives and things that are still out there are 30 years old. That still persists today on stuff that I write.
That's the thing. They still persist today.
Right. They don't go away. And so I gave Greg an example, which I don't want to spoil yet, because it'll be in the actual list part of the thing. But you said, that sounds like a great idea. And I was like, all right. And then a little bit later, you were like, we'll each do three and we'll just make it a list. And I'm like, okay. And then I had a really hard time coming up with two more after I gave you the example. I did eventually work it out.
Of course you did. You're Patrick F. O'Dowd. Like this is what you do. You work it out. So we will do the list. We will talk about it. And then I think I have, if I remember what it was, I had a 3-minute warning that was like similar to that, but breaks the rules that we talked about. But I can't remember what it is right now. So who knows if we'll actually do it. But we will figure it out. So I like it. I like the list idea. I like everything you're talking about. I think it's going to work. I think we're going to have a grand old time. Now, if you're tuning into this podcast and you're like, what about the Elimination Chamber? Like, you're a wrestling podcast. You're supposed to talk about the Elimination Chamber. To that I say,
awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
First off, everybody's going to talk about the Elimination Chamber. Every podcast is going to talk about it. Well, except for one, apparently. It was largely chalk. I complained about this off air. Like, WWE's too chalk right now. It's my one complaint about WWE being too chalk right now. But at the same time, we have 7 weeks to WrestleMania. 7 more of these shows, or 6 more of these shows. Like, we'll be fine. We'll have plenty of time to talk about WrestleMania. Plenty of time to talk about what's happening on the road to WrestleMania. Plenty of time to do all the things that people would want us to do. So we good. We totally good. You come here for fun. You come here for topics. This isn't on the list that Patrick came up with because it's not specific enough to a person. But one of mine is you know, you have to give the people what they want. And I say, no, you have to give the people what they need. And this week we're giving you what you need. So we're going to go to commercial. We are going to come back, and we are going to have ourselves a fun time with this, not the usual kind of list, but still.
You just made the list!
So we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
You just made the list!
It is list time! As we talked about before the break. By the way, go to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Pick up one of your very own chair shot t-shirts. Promo code time. I don't know the promo code. I'll look it up. But it's sale time at the Pro Wrestling Tees. It's March Madness, which is when they do their Merch Madness sale. By the time you hear this, that sale should be active. We'll see if I can find it. Oh, here we go. Right here. Got it. Looking at it. Promo code is Madness. 24. 20% off. Plus orders of over $150 get free USA shipping. That begins February 28th. Runs all the way through March 4th. Merch Madness sale at prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Promo code Madness24. Go out there and get you some. So, Patrick O'Dowd, we are doing the list. Go ahead and I know you explained it, but then we went to commercial. So, brief synopsis. And then you will go first because it's your list.
Yeah, so Greg and I are going to give our list of pro wrestling narratives that need to die. These can be, and they have to be specific. They can't be cliche narratives like Greg explained before. Like you can't say give the fans what you want is a wrestling narrative that needs to die. We want it to be more specific. And so in the examples that I have, all of my examples are about people in the business and the industry in some way.
I think
way,
they all, I mean, I would go so far as to say they all have to be about a person.
Right. And in one case, they're about two people. So
that's fine.
But, and with each of these, Greg and I'll share these narratives. I think it's a little bit different from previous lists because, you know, the list is usually a shorter segment, but this is the majority of the show. We'll probably talk about these a little bit more deeply than we have previously. So buckle up because we're going to get started and let people know that they just made the list. And you said I get to go first because it's my list, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, so I'm going to go with a really old one. And okay. This is an old narrative that still persists to this day.
I felt like you should have started with the one that I knew already, but that's okay.
No, I wanted to save that one. Because
it's a good one.
I want to do it later. It's a good one. It's like my best one. That's why I want to save it.
Okay. All right then.
But this is an oldie. But a goodie. It's generally spouted by people who believe everything that the wrestling dirt sheet community has been writing about for the last 30 years. Even though the other side will dispute it, argue it, present facts against it. There's been one book that's been written that kind of shows it to not be entirely true. But that narrative is that Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan destroyed WCW and tried to destroy TNA wrestling. Everywhere. The number one argument that I see made against Eric Bischoff when he says anything, particularly from a certain subset of fans who follow a particular wrestling company that when you pronounce phonetically sounds like ew. The first thing they say is, why should we listen to you? You and Hulk Hogan ran WCW and nearly ran TNA wrestling into the ground. And it's this narrative that is a very comfortable narrative to run with when you're arguing with a guy who did beat the WWE for God knows how long, 83 weeks. That's what it was.
Straight.
Not counting weeks too, yeah. the consecutive weeks, not counting the off and on
probably
weeks.
Probably like 100, 110 total. Yeah.
Like it makes you, it's one of those narratives that, you know, makes someone feel better about this sort of feeling of superiority. Like they somehow understand a business better than that by saying, you know, Hulk Hogan was a terrible toxic person and Eric Bischoff just let him do whatever he wanted in two companies. And so it's one of my big wrestling pet peeves. Especially when, if you look at any of this, objectively, while Eric Bischoff certainly contributed to some of the problems that were existing within WCW and by no means was like innocent to its downfall, he was by no means the like sole proprietor of the failure, the ultimate collapse of WCW. And at TNA, people really inflated his role based on reporting by Meltzer and others, like you know the Kellers of the world and just everybody. Like there were plenty of folks out there who ran with this idea that Eric Bischoff wanted to be an executive at TNA, that he wanted to be a booker for TNA, that he wanted. And Bischoff has repeatedly said, and I have no reason to not take his argument in good faith, that most of his work was at the request of working with Hogan and, you know, being kind of a in-between guy for Hogan and TNA. But that was about the extent of his role initially. And that, you know, he did other things, but he was not the guy. And he by no means was attempting to sabotage TNA wrestling during his time there. So that was my first narrative that I wanted to put out there.
You know, it's interesting. And I love that narrative. It does still persist today. It really does. People still bring it up. Couple things about that, though. That's just going to be linked to Bischoff forever. If he was shitting on WWE, the E-Drones, the WWE Defenders, they'd be saying the same thing. They just would.
Like, right.
That's just something that people attach to Eric Bischoff and lives with him forever. And right or wrong, wrong is the correct answer there. It's just one of those things that's always going to be stuck with him for him. And it is what it is. But great one. Really, really good one. So. It's if people knew, like, it was all business is what screwed over both companies, really, but didn't kill TNA because TNA is still around. But yeah, with WCW, like, it was all the AOL Time Warner thing. Like, that's what did it in. I mean, it's just, that's why they sold the company to WWE for pennies on the dollar when they could have sold it to Bischoff's group for a lot more, because they just wanted it gone. They just didn't want it to exist. And it didn't, and they damaged it so much that WWE couldn't even bring that shit back. They brought back ECW and couldn't bring back WCW. So, but they use all the old pay-per-view names. I really think when they move NXT over to the CW, call that shit Nitro. I think that'd be cool if it was NXT Nitro on the CW. Like, or put some random show on put some random show on Peacock. You got enough wrestlers that aren't doing anything. Call it Nitro. Why the hell not? Like, did that shit. Just get the old Fire logo or something. Just do something that makes it feel like Nitro and people will be happy. But that's just, it's just low hanging fruit for these idiots. Like it's clown shoes to even say that at this point. But you know, if the clown shoe fits, these motherfuckers gonna wear it. So I don't even have a lot to add to it. Like, it's so spot on what you said. And I know it's boring podcasting, but damn it, it's true. Speaking of low-hanging fruit, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going with the lowest hanging fruit there is for my first one.
Okay.
It's a huge narrative. It's been made fun of. It's been pushed around. It's believed by the vast majority of the internet wrestling community. And the first narrative that I want to put on this list is quite simply that Cody Rhodes has to finish the story.
I left it alone. I my narrative was like, and when you say by finish the story, you mean at WrestleMania?
That's the current version of it, but it's always been something. It was also the narrative at WrestleMania 39. It was also the narrative when people were thinking it was happening at SummerSlam last year. It's also the narrative now. if Cody doesn't finish the story at WrestleMania 40, guess what? It's going to be the narrative for SummerSlam again, and it would then become the narrative for WrestleMania 41. That's why I left off the tail end of it, because the actual narrative is that Cody has to finish the story.
By the way, hearkening back to our conversation last week, have you noticed the Seth turn on Cody thing is starting to pick up steam the interwebs as well?
Yeah. Trendsetters right fucking here. I've noticed it and I'm pissed about it. It's like, it's going to happen now. And when it does, everyone's going to take all this credit. And I'm just sitting back like, yep, Greg told you.
I mean, just repost the podcast, man.
That's true. That's true.
I honest to God, and I'm not saying that like people listen to our podcast and then like ran with this theory, but I didn't really hear that theory.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't believe Bully Ray does, but still.
Right. Like, heard this theory from you, and then like the later this week, it's like everybody's like, oh, Seth's turning on him. I'm like, which, if maybe that's people like trying to tell themselves and getting themselves ready for Cody to not finish his story.
Right.
Because the funny thing about this narrative, and it's the wording of he has to.
Right.
And like you said, you didn't finish it, ... It's your interpretation of what finishing the story really means. And for most of the people who drop that narrative in that line, it's the idea that he has to drop this, he has to win this against Roman Reigns. Like, that's the part you left off. Because it's like, if anything else is like a failure, like anything else right. is not finishing the story. And so that's the other element to it. And I still think they want Roman to get that number before Cody stands tall. But, you know, we could be wrong. What if there was a weird double turn, by the way? What if The Rock turned on Roman only to have Seth turn on Cody to help Roman get the win? Like, if they did both of those turns in that main event.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. They don't really do that
anymore. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but
because they want people to have their individual moment. But Seth's pushing this whole thing so hard.
Right.
He's pushing this whole thing so hard about that. And again, because now people are going to get pissed. And so I want to make sure I'm perfectly clear in what I'm talking about here. I still believe that Cody will finish the story. All right, the timeline Absolutely. Might shift, but Cody's the guy, brother. And also, not that this matters, but also people tend to forget the World Heavyweight Championship didn't exist when Cody delivered to finish the storyline. It was literally the day after Roman Reigns unified those two titles, which was only done to make his match with Brock Lesnar more important. So it could right. be. But then Cody has since said it has to be that title. So whatever. But it's going to happen. I get the Madison Square Garden thing. I get the Hogan's record thing. Like, there are so many reasons. Maybe they will. We'll save the WrestleMania predictions for when we get to the week before WrestleMania. But to me, that narrative is that Cody Rhodes absolutely has to finish the story at blank.
Yes.
Now back to you.
All right. This one stems from an article that I sent you, yesterday or the day before.
Yes.
And this is actually a classic narrative for multiple wrestlers. Like, this could be a general narrative because you could go with such and such wrestler is being wasted or is being held back or buried or any number of things. But what I'm going to use is the title of the article. The WWE has a Gunther problem. And I'm seeing it everywhere. What are we going to do with Gunther? What's going to happen with Gunther? The WWE doesn't, like, they have to do something with Gunther. This is a real problem. Like, he can't hold on to the Intercontinental title forever. It's a problem. Is it a problem?
No.
Like, is it a problem?
No.
But you're posing it as a problem?
No.
You can do it.
Definitely not a problem. In fact, the problem is thinking there's a problem. Like,
right.
And we've said this before. We said this back when we joked about Miranda being on the show and when she was on the show. They've essentially made the Intercontinental Championship a third world title.
Right.
Third space world title, not third world title like a third world country, but it's a first world title, but it's just the third world. You get it. They've literally created a third world heavyweight championship. Fuck, same thing. With the Intercontinental Championship. And it's the one that everybody loves. And they've loved it going back to the 80s with Savage and Steamboat and all of that. Will Gunther eventually lose it? Yeah. Will he eventually become World Heavyweight Champion or WWE Champion? Yeah. Like, I think all that's in the cards, barring injury or any other unforeseen circumstances. But him being the Intercontinental Champion is not a problem that they have to solve, that they have to fix, that they have to address immediately. I'll go so far as to say this. I don't think he has to lose it at WrestleMania.
No, he doesn't. But they've given it the perfect opportunity for him to.
Well, yeah, and a multi-man. Because I also think the modern-day WWE and Triple H's booking doesn't really want to have challengers lose by not losing. Right. I would hate for the longest Intercontinental Championship reign, and now I think he's the longest cumulative as well, just all in one reign. I would hate for that to end by him not getting pinned or submitted. I would hate for Roman's to end by him not getting pinned or submitted, because you kind of earned that, right? You earn the opportunity to be, it's the perfect end point on a reign is to lose and lose properly. And,
right.
And now, of course, okay, say it's a big, you know, or maybe it's a ladder match or whatever. And then Gunther loses the title without being pinned or submitted. You could do a rematch and have Gunther get pinned or submitted there, because if you don't actually beat Gunther, you're kind of a paper champion until you do. And Gunther, you know, there's nothing to protect. If Gunther gets beaten,
right,
he's not going to turn around and suddenly not be a worthy challenger for a world title just because he lost to Chad Gable. And that's the other thing. Some people are saying it's just going to be Gunther and Sammy or Gunther and whoever. You don't have Chad Gable tap Ivar out, who's more than twice his size,
right,
for no reason. You just don't do that. So something's coming, and I think it's great.
Remember that momentum that Chad Gable had when he took on Gunther
and beat him by countout, and that was the man's first loss.
Right. So.
But he just doesn't. In fact, if there's
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but by Gunther, because the other part of this narrative that I just think is nuts is the idea that he's being held back in some way by not ascending past. Because that's kind of what you're saying when you're saying you have a Gunther problem, is that he's so unbeatable at the intercontinental level that part of the sort of the bad faith in this narrative is bad faith in the challenger, especially if you do like a four-way or something like that, but bad faith in the challenger that whoever, like the Gunther has been so dominant in his victories that it makes it hard. And I think the other poor timing with this particular narrative comes with the whole Brock Lesnar piece of it, which that elephant in the room, this is one of those times where plans did change, bro. And I can believe that, like, plans change, but to call then the resulting whatever happens next a problem is if there's no talent that can legitimately get after Gunther, even in a hope story, like it goes back to what Greg says with Chad Gable, is disingenuous. And it also seems to imply that there's this logjam holding Gunther back, which is why they've kept him with the title, like that he's just being held down because there's no place for him versus Roman or Seth, which, while true in a way, it's not like the people that can challenge Gunther aren't talented enough or don't deserve to be in the same ring as Gunther.
The Intercontinental Championship did the job it's supposed to do with Gunther. It did.
Right.
But I would actually prefer, if Gunther is in a multi-man match, that he wins that, because he hasn't been in that situation yet. So let's put him in one and have him win, and let that loss come somewhere else. And people tend to forget. This is a TV product above everything else. And if you're always going to have the world title change hand on pay-per-view or premium live event, then it kind of makes sense to have your secondary title change hands on television. So, because you got to do some stuff on TV. So I do think I could see that, you know, Gunther even losing that on television at some point in a one-on-one match. But to me, mid-card of WrestleMania, Gunther standing tall again, sounds good to me. I don't have a problem with it. No, whatsoever.
Right.
And I think it's a great way to get people on the card, because where there's the logjam is the mid-card. Sami Zayn, you know, he recently defended against Jey Uso. You've got Shinsuke in there. These are all main event talents you know, have challenged Gunther. And Gunther could very believably go main event something tomorrow and would be totally fine. And will in the future. Also, if he loses the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, then what? Because you're most likely going to have a brand new World Heavyweight Champion. And if what everyone thinks is going to happen happens, a brand new WWE Champion. Are you just going to turn around and have him lose? Like, why rush to take it off Gunther? You're just not look. These people and things like, you know, WWE has a Gunther problem. It's because they look at Gunther in a vacuum. They don't look at Gunther and the entire landscape of WWE and realize, no, it's actually kind of stupid. Because nothing exists on its own. When you start booking things and they exist on its own, you screw over other things on your card. And you don't want to do that. So, good one. Very, very good one. My next one, Patrick O'Dowd, is a topic that we've talked about a few times over the last couple of weeks. So it's current, very, very hot topic to talk about. But is the shitty narrative that people are throwing out there, Patrick O'Dowd? And that is the notion that the firing of Scott D'Amore will finally be the thing that kills TNA. This company survived Jeff Jarrett running weekly pay-per-views in places like Alabama, in Mississippi, and Louisiana, and everywhere else in the old Mid-South territories, to going to weekly television on Fox Sports Net with a six-sided ring and a clock, to not having television, to going to Spike TV, to Dixie Carter, to Jeff Jarrett again, to becoming Global Force Wrestling for some week and a half, to Dixie Carter, to Billy Corgan, to the Harris Brothers, to Anthem, and where we are today with Don Callis running around and then eventually Scott D'Amore getting fired. This company's been around for 22 years. And you think this is going to kill it?
It's been around longer than WCW.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Ring of Honor outlasted by a few months, and that's it. Like, in terms of longest-running active wrestling promotions, you know, TV wrestling promotions, it goes WWE, Ring of Honor, I guess, TNA. Like, that's it for American televised wrestling right now. So, it survived name changes. It survived so much, but you think it can't survive? Do I think the firing of Scott D'Amore is stupid? Yes. Do I think, given the opportunity, they should bring him back, even if he was willing to come back? He probably isn't. Yes. Do I think if none of that happens that they'll die? No. No. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, we have talked about this many times over the 10-plus years that we've been doing this podcast, that TNA is like the cockroach of pro wrestling. You can't kill it.
Yeah.
Like, it does not go away. It has found a way. And the thing that's really interesting about this particular narrative, I have two episodes of Impact in the bank. I think they are pre D'Amore firing episodes. I'm not sure when the taping schedule flipped.
Yeah, because they haven't taped anything since then.
Right. So, regardless of whether the decision was good or bad, at the very least, he left behind a pretty strong foundation to build upon because things were going well.
Yeah.
And so now things could take a turn and probably will take a turn because it's not going to have his fingerprints on whatever's next. But they've always found their way, and until they prove otherwise, TNA is going to live. Like it's gonna find a way until they show that they're going to actually die. Right. Like we can't declare them dead.
They literally survive without television at one point. Like it's absurd. Right. That the firing of Scott D'Amore is going to finally be the thing that kills TNA. Like it's because you want it to die. Like that's the only reason why these people are doing this. They want it to die. And they don't really want it to die because they just want it to die for something else to talk about. Because right. Misery loves company and everybody just wants to see the whole world burn. Which is what people said to me when I said Seth Rollins was going to turn on Cody Rhodes.
Burn it down.
Your turn. Burn it down. Look at that. It's perfect. You nailed it.
I did that for you.
It's his theme song.
All right. Well done. My last entry onto the list is indeed the narrative that kicked this whole thing off. Because as I was sitting on my couch at around, I don't know, 8:30 in the morning on Saturday, this past Saturday, watching Elimination Chamber because I woke up and it was on. So I just threw on. Where it was, by the way, Peacock, if you could do me a favor, just as an aside, for those of us who don't want to wait for you to put the damn show up, if it's currently airing live, can we bring back the watch from the beginning option? Can you just do it? That was such a great thing.
I've seen people tweet about this. I've had no problem bringing it up live and then just dragging the bar off to the beginning of the show.
That's just a pain in the ass. And I'm doing it through my TV where I'm using a remote and not a mouse.
Gotcha.
So, because the app is all on my television. So
the only issue that I have is that when I drag it to the beginning of the show.
You have to watch commercials.
Well, yes, but that's whatever. You still have to watch them when they put the replay up on Peacock because you can't skip the commercials.
Oh, however, I mean, when you pull it back, it instantly makes you watch a commercial, right? Like it happened to me today. So that's the only
not in the live aspect. But here's the thing about that. When the actual PLE goes off air, it goes off air no matter where I'm at. So, and then I got to wait an hour and a half for them to finally upload the fucking show.
That's really interesting. Cause I did this. So I had a basketball game that I had up running while I was talking to Tunney for the Pick and Roll podcast. Catch it this Thursday on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. But I was able to back it up, even though the game had ended, and watch the end of the game as if it were live. I just had to watch a commercial. So interesting. Maybe it just depends on what content. Anyway, while I was watching this, and we get to our men's Elimination Chamber match, a tweet that I saw many, many times starts to pop up that said, Logan Paul looks like he, quote, belongs with the main eventers. Kids, Logan Paul has looked like he belongs at the main event level from the second he's been on your TV screens. Period. He has always presented himself and has been presented as a big fucking deal. And it has worked. And it is whatever his shortcomings in the ring are, they don't matter because he looks like he is a main eventer. He doesn't look like he belongs. He belongs. That's why he's entering into a story with Randy fucking Orton, because he belongs. Like, you don't do that if a guy doesn't belong. And the other thing, Logan Paul has been making appearances for the WWE now for over, what, a year, 2 years?
He's going on year now? Three. He made his debut.
Year three.
Yeah. He made his debut at WrestleMania 37.
So at what point, children, do you drop the looks like and accept that he belongs and that he's a professional wrestler? Every bit as much of a professional wrestler as the other four dudes in the Elimination Chamber that quote unquote are belong.
I'm sorry, WrestleMania 38. He belongs. WrestleMania 38. So he's wrapping up year two.
Yes. But he's been here. He has worked with Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And again, didn't look out of place doing it. The guy is legit. That's a man.
Not only did he work with Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia, he worked with Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia in 2022. Not even a year after his debut. It was like his third or fourth match. I think it was his third match. And he's still only at like match number 11 now.
And during that match, what was everybody tweeting, Greg?
He looks like he belongs.
Thank you.
Now, I will say this. I will say this. He does look like he belongs. He does. That's fine. Looking like you belong is meaningless. He performs like he belongs because, quite simply, he belongs. He's earned it. There's a lot of different ways to get to the top. He took a way to get to the top that most other people don't. He is no longer a celebrity pro wrestler. He's a pro wrestler who also happens to be a celebrity. People are going to hate this, but I think by now even these stands get it. Bad Bunny is a celebrity pro wrestler. A damn good one.
I was going to say, somebody brought up, oh, he's almost as good as Bad Bunny. And I wanted to be like, stop it.
No.
Stop it.
Bad, like, that's saying that Logan Paul is almost as good as Bad Bunny is like saying the Usos were almost as good as the Young Bucks. Like, no. Bad Bunny is a spot wrestler. But he does it in a way that works. Yeah. Not garbage, though. It just works. And the reason why it works for Bad Bunny doesn't work for the Young Bucks is because Bad Bunny's a music star. He's not a professional wrestler. I think, obviously not for WrestleMania 40. People used to say this, and I was like, no, no, no. At this point at WrestleMania 41, I would accept Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny. Because you need somebody to carry the match, and Logan Paul can carry the match.
Right. Okay.
Don't
tell the people who says he looks like he belongs.
Yeah, I will tell them. I'll tell them he does belong. Looking like you belong will get you like one match. It really will.
Right.
Maybe in WWE, it'll get you one match. In other places, it can get you a whole career. But in WWE, it'll get you one match. Then you actually have to deliver. And you actually have to put up. And he's putting up. And he's delivering. And he's, you know, Logan effing Paul at this point. And he's a pro wrestler. And look, Bad Bunny, again, to use the comparison, he's a worldwide global music icon at this point. He is. Logan Paul is a social media influencer. And some people might tune into WWE and not know who he is. And if you tuned in to WWE and didn't know who Logan Paul was, you would just think he's somebody on the roster. And that's the biggest compliment you can pay to Logan Paul in terms of how he is as a professional wrestler. The fact that if you didn't know who he was, you would just think he was just like anybody else on the roster. You would not think Bad Bunny was just like everybody else on the roster.
And for those of you out there who are saying, I can't stand Logan Paul, I just want to punch that guy in the face, you're supposed to want to feel that way. That's what that headband's for. Just put it out. That's why I wear it.
Remember when Logan Paul came in and insisted on being a babyface? And it's not an internet report. The man himself said it in an interview. Like, he wanted to be a good guy. That's why The Miz turned on him after their first match together.
Right.
Thank God he realized that he needed somebody got into his head and said, dude, you're a heel. And he accepted it. Kind of like your magic.
Probably Bruce Pritchard.
Maybe, right?
It's probably Bruce sitting there with his case of, what is that energy drink called?
Yeah, Prime.
God, he loves that shit.
And I think the only reason Bruce Pritchard loves Logan Paul so much is because of his own kid. Who's probably like, this is great, you got Logan Paul, blah, blah, blah. And Bruce is like, I'm just going to dive fully in on the Logan Paul thing. Shout out to The Miz, by the way. Bad Bunny comes in. Who does he wrestle against? The Miz in a tag team match. Miz and Morrison against Bad Bunny. And before they made it a tag match, it's just going to be The Miz versus Bad Bunny. Logan Paul comes in. Who do they put in with immediately? The Miz. Like, again, The Miz. It's, you know, you got to.
Can't wait for his Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing. Like, and R-Truth has to be the one to induct him. Like, it just. And then The Miz has to be the one to induct R-Truth. And hopefully they go in together.
That'd be outstanding. And so great.
It's always that, like R-Truth has entered the Royal Rumble, pulled out a ladder, and tried to get the briefcase. The last Royal Rumble, he tried to get the hot tag, and Dominik actually did finally give him the hot tag. what is R-Truth going to say at the Hall of Fame? Like, where is he going to think he is? Like, I can't even think of it now, but, like, he will do something funny. Like, when he went to Austria instead of Australia. Like, those are just amazing things that we do with R-Truth. So I got one more, and I got to narrow it down. Yes, you do. You do have a couple. So I am going to maybe cheat. No, I'm not going to cheat. I will... This one hurts. It does. It hurts. But it's a narrative that I think needs to be... And it's a narrative that I myself have fed into. But as the more I think about it, the more I look at wrestling as a business, because that's what I do, I realize, okay, this is a narrative that... Because narratives can be true. Right? They can be true. Even though a lot of times narratives are opinions. Right? The Gunther problem is somebody's opinion. Logan Paul looks like he belongs to somebody's opinion. All these are opinions. So here's the narrative that needs to go away. Tony Khan is a bad booker. Is the narrative that needs to go away. And here's why I say that. Do I believe Tony Khan's a bad booker? I do. I do believe that Tony Khan's a bad booker. Dynamite's still the number one show on Wednesday nights almost every Wednesday. And it's always a top five outside of live sports. Believe it or not, go on WrestleTix. Guess whose attendance is starting to go up a little bit? It's AEW. They still have a rabid fan base who loves what they do. Who you could put Britt Baker taking a shit, put it on a t-shirt, they would buy it in droves. So yeah, he's playing to a niche market. And yeah, everything that O'Shea Edwards said is right. But just because I don't like it doesn't truly make him factually a bad booker. He's putting together wrestling matches, having people win, having people lose. Do I like it? No. But it's being successful. It may not meet the measures of success that people want to plop down on it. But it's a successful, it's the number two wrestling company in North America and number three in the world, depending on how you want to look at, you know, New Japan and maybe AAA, but I doubt it. So I'm going to go with number three. So he does a lot of bonehead things, sure, but like this narrative that he's just a bad booker, because again, these narratives are presented as what? They're presented as fact. And I've done it and I'll probably do it again tomorrow. But, and I've said it before, I had this conversation with somebody over the weekend. That's not even their biggest problem, is Tony Khan's booking. But this narrative that he's a bad booker, it's just, I need us, myself included, I need more. I need more than just he's a bad booker. I really do. We've gotten to that point. Because he's been a bad booker for 4 years now. And his product...
No, he's been booker of the year.
Which pretty much means you're a bad booker. Like, if I'm Triple H, I'm concerned that I won that award. But... And by a landslide, too. Like, that's the crazy part. But yet, Dynamite was still voted number one TV show by those readers or whatever.
Yeah, well.
So I'm going to put on the list an era Tony Khan's a bad booker.
And you have every right to. I will say this. I agree with you that I, too, believe that Tony Khan is a bad booker. The one thing, like, I can't deny numbers. I can't deny who's watching. I can't deny... what they're doing. What I can do is talk about the reasons why I run with this narrative and explain why the booking is bad, even if it is still getting eyeballs. Because every time I try to watch, I will not be adding to the numbers like ever. Because every time I try, Greg, I get so far, and then probably every time I watch anything by AEW, I get to a point where I end up texting you, and I'm done.
You do. You try, and it's the same. Like you, it's
and here's why: is most of the time it's because it makes no goddamn sense,
right? To you,
like, and I don't think, and this the other side, this the other piece of it that I will say, I don't think. That, I mean, I know what appeals to me and what I think is a good story is not the same as what pulls in the audience that is watching AEW Dynamite. It's just not. Like, I needed to make it make sense in ways that I just don't see and then others do. So that's what I got.
But you are mature enough as a fan to admit that everything you just stated is your opinion. Like
that's fair.
You're mature, and so am I. And we share our opinions, but the fact is, a narrative, again, is someone stating their opinion as fact. And we can share our opinion and accept that it's our opinion, but like you said, it's being successful. Like, it's factually inaccurate saying that someone's a bad booker because they haven't killed off their company. He's just not booking to us. Yeah, maybe. But
no, it'll be Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff that kill his company.
Right. Exactly. So that's why I went with
that.
See
what I did there?
I did. It was circular. It was very good. Very good. So that is the six items that are on the list. So we're going to go to commercial. We're going to come back. We're going to put this baby in order and have some fun. So we will be right back.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome to the main event.
See, you're impressed. You're impressed by the theme song for the IZW Heavyweight Champion. Main event, Evan Daniels. Yeah, you are. Uh-huh. That's right.
I mean, I am.
It's good shit. He changed his song, and I got it. And I was like, oh, but his last one was good. His last one was good. This one's perfect. Yeah, it's good shit. The reason why, because I'm going to self-gloss a little bit and just, I've invented a new catchphrase that isn't really a new catchphrase. People have used it before. And I'm just going to toot my own horn because I don't have the hashtag Miranda Show here to do a full-on hour and a half recap of IZW Monster took place over this weekend. All I'm going to say is that we are working on different forms of distribution now for IZW and harder than we have worked before, because I am officially deeming us as the best kept secret in independent wrestling. That's what we are. We are the best. I've even changed some of the social media bios to say the best kept secret in independent wrestling. That's what I feel we are. Am I biased? Yeah. Is it my opinion? Yeah. Is it my narrative? Yes. Does it need to stop? No, because it's me. But that's where I'm at. So, and since I don't have the platform of the hashtag Miranda Show to share it on, I'm going to share it here. So, sorry, not sorry. All right, Patrick Goodell, we have our six items on the list. Now we're going to put them in order, which won't take nearly as long. But like you said, we made this the show because we knew it was going to be a good discussion. And I'm glad that we did that because it was a good discussion. So now the script gets flipped. I go first, Patrick goes second, and we put these six items in order. And Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going to be selfish, because to me, it's the most annoying thing of everything on this list. I am putting it number one, the notion that Cody Rhodes has to finish a story blank at whatever major event's coming up.
Yeah, I had that. That would have been my number one if I'd gone first. Hard to ignore that because it's the deafening noise in the room. So
it's the thing that's hitting us over the head right now with a club. Yeah.
Right. For number two, though, I'm gonna go with one of mine as well, because it's the longest tenured narrative that refuses to go away, and that is Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan ruined WCW and tried to ruin TNA.
Just for the sake of podcasting, to show everybody that we're not always on the same page, that probably would have been the last on my list.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But just saying that probably would have been last on my list. Number three for me, also because it's a long-standing narrative, just the name changes, but the narrative stays the same, that the firing of Scott D'Amore is going to be the thing that kills TNA. Because really, it's just the next in a long line of things that were going to be the thing that kills TNA.
Word. For number four, I'm going to go with my original idea, the one that gave us the list in the first place, and that is Logan Paul looks like he belongs, in quotes, in the main event.
And why the hell not? I'm going to steal yours for number five. I'm stealing the Gunther problem. Otherwise, the list gets boring.
That's fair. Well, and because we personally feel this way anyway, I'm okay with this last narrative being the last narrative that Tony Khan is a bad booker. Because you know what? He is. Sorry.
And I agree. Sorry. I agree with your opinion. I do. I agree with your opinion. We are just not here to spew our opinion as fact.
It's what is podcasting then?
It's our opinion. But we can be good podcasters and not force everyone else to agree with us. That's for sure.
That's fair. So. That's fair. Okay.
So there we go. Congratulations.
You just made the list.
Cody Rhodes has to finish a story blank. Bischoff and Hogan destroy WCW. Firing Scott D'Amore is going to be the thing that kills TNA. Logan Paul looks like he belongs. The WWE has a Gunther problem, and Tony Khan is a bad booker. The list of narratives that need to go away, all of you.
You just made the list!
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So this one, Patrick, is... And I remembered what I originally wanted to do for this portion of the show. And I'm trying to find the graphic now that I downloaded to use for this as my reference point. Here it is. Would be considered a narrative, but I don't think it would have fit what we were doing because we were focused on specific individuals and not these three individuals. But a graphic was shared that, because over the weekend, Dolph Ziggler won the New Japan Global Championship, which used to be the U.S. and the U.K. and whatever. Mustafa Ali won the TNA X Division Championship. And Matt Riddle won the New Japan Television Championship. And so when three recently released WWE superstars win championships, what is the narrative going to be?
Oh, like that this is their, like, they're no longer being held back by the WWE, something to that effect.
Right,
like,
no longer being held back by the WWE proves that they were wasted by WWE.
Right.
Shows that, obviously this shows that WWE doesn't know what they're doing. I would like to present to you a narrative of my own. My opinion, Patrick O'Dowd, I am of the opinion that this proves the exact opposite. This proves exactly how strong WWE is. That these three gentlemen can waltz right into other companies and immediately win. Mustafa Ali has never wrestled a match in TNA. Walks in, cuts one promo, gets a shot at the X Division Championship in Chris Sabin, and wins the X Division title. Apparently he's the first person to ever win the X Division Championship in their first ever match with the company. Is that true? I don't know. But again, that's because of WWE. Right? Dolph Ziggler shows up in New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom. Now he challenges for this global championship, I think was held by David Finlay, and he wins it. If he's not a former WWE superstar, does he win it? No.
Yes.
Matt Riddle, you could maybe argue that Matt Riddle had enough behind him before he was in WWE to waltz into New Japan and win their television title. I think it's still because he's former WWE superstar Matt Riddle. Take former WWE superstar away from these people, I don't think all three of them win these titles so quickly in their tenure in these companies. I really don't.
Yeah, I believe it. I think that it's undeniable. Like, you're part of the biggest wrestling company in the world. You leave the biggest wrestling company in the world. You are a known commodity and a name that is instant credibility. That is why it's funny. Like, that's why that's why these companies then give them titles right away. It's also why, even if you're not moving on to some other national brand, your name carries value that independent bookers around the country will bring you in because there's the perception of the clout that you having been a part of a WWE roster and been on national television brings to your product. Now, whether that actually plays out or not, that's the power of being a part of a WWE roster and being on television. for 52 weeks a year, every Monday or Friday.
That's why they can charge so much for those indie bookings.
Right.
And I know because I've looked into it, because that's my job as an indie wrestling promoter that we always like to joke about. And I can tell you, they charge so much. So much so that we will never use them. But they charge so much. So it's they couldn't charge that if they weren't former WWE superstar blank. It's just, that's the power of WWE. We're coming up on WrestleMania season. And it's long been a tale that I've heard and a opinion that I've seen out there in the past. If you want to see how strong the wrestling industry is, just look at WrestleMania. If WrestleMania is in a small arena not doing so good, neither is the wrestling business. If it's in a traditional arena, even if it's in an arena in front of 18,000 people, still not doing so great because it used to be in stadiums in front of 60, 70, 80,000 people. It's been in stadiums since WrestleMania 20, right? WrestleMania, or WrestleMania 22 was the last time it wasn't in a stadium. We're going on 40. So the past 18 years, WrestleMania has been in a giant stadium. The wrestling industry is very, very strong. And WrestleMania tells you that. That's why these wrestlers can go out and do it. And it's not a bad thing. Hopefully, New Japan and TNA get a boost from this. Because it's what's for the best of the wrestling business. So, I'm down. I'm completely down. No problems with any of it whatsoever. And that, noble listener, as Patrick Bedell would like to call you, is going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. So we appreciate you listening. Going through this week's list, trust me, we will have plenty of time to talk about WrestleMania, plenty of time to talk about the road to WrestleMania. The last thing Patrick O'Dowd needs us to do is to make him try to guess what the hell is going to happen for the next 7 weeks. He will probably quit podcasting forever. And personally, I don't want that to happen. So I'm not going to allow it to happen. That's what I'm allowed to do as the host of the show. So for said Patrick O'Dowd, I am Greg DeMarco. We appreciate you listening. And until next time, we remind you to always use your head.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Me.
You just made the list.
Awesome.
Okay.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.